Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. We come to the Holy Triduum, the holy 3 days of our year, beginning on the evening of Holy Thursday, continuing until the evening of Easter Sunday. So during these 3 days, we are hyper-focused, if you will, on the great mystery of Christ's giving of himself, his living, suffering, dying, and rising. This is the heart of the Christian life. So Holy Thursday, during the evening, the rubrics say something important. After the proclamation of the gospel, a homily is supposed to be presented and proclaimed, covering the three main mysteries celebrated that night, namely the institution of the Eucharist, the priestly order, and the commandment of the Lord telling us to fraternal charity, or the washing of the feet. So a brief word about each of those, if you will. The institution of the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is the heart of our life, right? We come to the Eucharist, and the Eucharist, Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. So the celebration of the Eucharist and our receiving Holy Communion, in a sense, is a promise of eternal life. So we want to have that eternal life in us now. We don't simply believe in the real presence of Jesus. We also believe in an event of communion with Jesus. And communion is what happens on a wedding day. A bride and groom come together, they make their vows, they give and receive each other, and they become different. That's my hope for how we receive Holy Communion during the year. We come forward like a bride and a groom ready to receive our Lord Jesus, to allow him to claim us and to name us and to make us different. We want to become more like him. So as you process up for Holy Communion on Holy Thursday especially, you might call to mind a wedding, and you might be willing to give yourself totally and then receive Christ totally so that you can be one with him. By the way, that's why God made us, is for communion. So we find our identity in communion, which is a way of being, not just something we receive. So communion is how we live our life with Christ. So come to the Eucharist. The second mystery is the institution of the priesthood. And it's important to know, and Pope Francis reminds us, priesthood is not about clericalism, right? It's not about a perceived power of some kind. Priesthood is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So we are ordained by him, called by him, and then we live our life like him. And the life of Christ is a life of self-emptying and a life of humility and humble service. Everything the priest does is for you. It's for the church. And we know that if there are no priests, there are no sacraments. So we take a moment tonight to pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, but especially for priests in our own diocese, so that the sacramental life might continue to be with us. And then finally, it's interesting that the night we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist, what happens that night is we wash feet. Therein is the meaning of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a life of fraternal charity, a life of service, a life of living for the other. And unless and until I serve someone else, I'm never going to know why God made me. So I invite you this week, too, to live for someone else, serve someone else, do an act of charity for someone else. Then we'll be ready for the Easter sacraments. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. We now turn to Good Friday. And why is it called a good day when we celebrate the death of our Savior? Because our Savior willingly died for us. This sacrifice changes everything. So at the heart of Good Friday is the theme of redemptive suffering. Redemptive suffering is the belief that we have that Jesus shows us that if someone sacrifices willingly out of love for another, that can help the other. And so the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross changes us here 2,000 years later. That sacrifice willingly done out of love changes the whole world. So therefore, it is a good day. We learn from Jesus on the cross everything we need to know about our life. On the cross, Jesus learns how to trust the Father totally. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. On the cross, Jesus could have responded with anger and vengeance and violence. Instead, he forgives the good thief by his side. So on the cross, we learn how to live our life. We also learn how to prepare for our own passing. We have hope in eternal life, and Jesus shows us that now. We begin Good Friday in silence, and the ministers, the priests, the deacons, prostrate themselves on the ground. This is what they did on the day of their ordination. It's an ancient symbol of total submission, giving everything over to God. And we do that because we're about to celebrate God giving everything over for us, Jesus on the cross. And so when the priests and the deacons lie down on the ground, they lie down reminding us of what Jesus does totally. And then we respond in kind. We try to give ourselves to God. I often say that if Jesus gives this much, then how come we can't even give this much back to him? The rubric says on this day and the following day, meaning Easter Saturday, according to an ancient tradition, the church does not celebrate the sacraments at all, except for penance and the anointing of the sick. So Good Friday is the one day of the year when the Eucharist is not celebrated. And in fact, Easter Saturday until sundown is another day when the Eucharist is not celebrated. So this is out of incredible respect and also a fasting, if you will, helping us to understand the deep sacrifice that our Lord gave to us. So now let us turn to the Passion, which is always from the Gospel of John on Good Friday. There are two points that I noticed this year especially. The first one is that when Jesus is asked who he is, he answers, I am. This is the ancient name of God that God gave to Moses when Moses asked, who are you? I am who am. So we know that Jesus is God who is present from the creation of the world and will lead us into a new reign. And then secondly, Jesus on the cross calls out, I thirst. St. Augustine famously says that this is Jesus thirsting for our response of faith. He's thirsting for our love. He's thirsting for you and for me. That's why he came, is to find us. So on this Good Friday, let him find you. Let him give his love to you. God bless you. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Happy Easter to you. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the day that makes all the difference in the world. It's important to look and say, what does Sacred Scripture say about the resurrection of Jesus? Sacred Scripture does not say Jesus is raised, so therefore we're all going to go to heaven and we're all going to be raised too. That's our hope, but Scripture doesn't say that. It also does not say, now that Jesus is raised, if you are good, then you can be raised too, and if you are bad, then you're going to hell. Scripture doesn't quite say that either. So what does Scripture say about the resurrection? Two things that I note. The early Christians were galvanized by a belief that the one who hung on a cross, the one who died in disgrace, has not been forgotten. He has been raised by his Father. And now that Jesus is alive, through the power of divine love, we can reconsider our life with God. By our baptism, divine life is not only available to us, but it's given to us right now. And so what happened with Jesus, how the Father responds to you and to me the same way. So we are not forgotten. You are never alone. And also, every sin can be forgiven. The love of the Father is so great that your sin will never be greater. So the love of the Father can always find us and seek us out. The love of God will win in the end. So that's the proclamation of this day. That love has conquered death. And so for the Christian, there is no more death. There is life and there is eternal life. And so we live for eternal life. We hunger for eternal life and we prepare for it. And how do you prepare for it? Not just being morally good, that's important. The important thing is to know God, to know the Father in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. When we hang on to Christ, he knows the way, right? So he has passed over into an eternal life. So we learn how to hold on to him in everything. Especially when I feel desolate or alone, we turn to Christ. He's always the answer. The second thing that Scripture says is that now that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, God has begun a new creation. So God isn't done creating the world, but in the resurrection, we find something wonderful. We find what will happen, we believe, at the end of this time, are the second coming of Jesus, or the reign of God. We find that God will come not to destroy everything, but to transform everything. So Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is a transformed life, a resurrected life. In fact, Jesus came and people did not recognize him at first. So he's somehow different, but he's the same. There's a sense that this is what God will do when Jesus comes again. He wants to transform the entire world, the entire universe. And that's good news. He wants to transform you and me if we let him do it. By the way, we see this at every Eucharist we celebrate because we take ordinary bread and wine and we present them to the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to come, and they are transformed. They become for us something of heaven, if you will, Jesus Christ himself. That's exactly an image of what will happen when Jesus comes again. He wants to change the entire universe. So on this Easter day, have hope and have joy, and our hope and joy is in God. Have a good Easter.